Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kufbet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Neger HaNigrar, if you have a peg or a post that is used to lock the door, we've talked about this before, it goes into the ground, it's a metal peg that stops the door from opening. But here, it's Nigrar, it's laying on the ground. No limbo b'migdash. In the Migdash, you can use it to lock the door. Avalo b'midina, but not outside of the Migdash. The problem here is a problem of bonet. But it's not really bonet, it's mechzek bonet. It looks like bonet, which means that we're dealing with an issue derabanan. We have a principle that ein shvut b'migdash, that the dinei derabanan or gzerot derabanan do not apply in the Migdash. See later today, that might not be just a definitive statement. There might be exceptions to that rule. But because of that, with regards to the Migdash, you're allowed to utilize it. By the medina means outside of the Migdash, we won't allow you to use it.
V'amunach, that which is left on the ground, completely detached from the door, kan v'kan asur, is asur both in the Migdash and the medina. So Rashi explains, that's binyan. That's real binyan, because it has no attachment to the door. You're taking a stake, you're putting it in the ground. It's like you're building. So that's asur in both locations. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, amunach mutar migdash. Yehuda believes that even a stake or a bolt that is not attached to the door is only a problem of mechzek bonet. It's only a problem dirabonon. And therefore, in the Migdash, we're going to waive it, because ain't shvut b'migdash. In the Medina, it'll be asur. V'anigrar, something that's laying on the ground, as long as it's attached to the door, b'medina. Even outside of the Migdash, that will be mutar, because that's already not even under an isur dirabonon. It's not even mechzek bonet. As long as it's attached to the door, even though it's laying completely on the ground, that is fine.
So anything that's detached completely, the Tanna Kamma believes is binyan mamash. It's really binyan, and therefore it'll be asur both in the Migdash and the Medina. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that if it's detached, it's simply mechzei kebonet. If it's mechzei kebonet, then it's mutar in the Migdash and asur in the Medina, because you're dealing with an edin derabanan. According to the Tanna Kamma, detached completely is an isur deoraita of binyan, so therefore Medina and Migdash is problematic. It's only the Negar Nigrar that we have a question to Rabbanan. That's a peg or an insert that is laying on the ground, but it's tied to the door. In that case, he says that in the Migdash, it's mutar, because that's only Asur Midi Rabbanan. In the Medina, that is Asur. So the question of where you enter the point where it's only Asur Midi Rabbanan and Asur Midi Oraita. For the Tanna Kamma, it's Asur Midi Oraita when it's detached, and it's only Asur Midi Rabbanan when it's attached but laying on the ground. For Rabbi Yehuda, even when it's detached, it's still an Isur Midi Rabbanan. And therefore, in the Migdash Mutar, in the Medina, it's Asur. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braita that basically is more descriptive, but it gives the positions of our Mishnah, which is, Ezehu Neger Anigrar, Shnualim B'Migdash. What is this peg that you lock up in the Migdash with? Avalo B'Medina, but not outside of the Migdash. Kosher Kashur V'Taloi. Anything that's tied and hanging, Rosh Echad Magil Aretz, and one side of it reaches the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Zeh B'Medina Mutar. This, even the Medina, is Mutar. Ella, Ezoi Neger Shenualim B'Migdash, which is this peg or stopper that you use in the Migdash, of Velo B'Medina, but not outside the Migdash, Koshenu Kashur Velo Taloi, something that's not tied, not hanging, V'Shomto Menilcho B'Keren Zavit. You pull it out and you leave it in the corner. It has no connection to the door whatsoever. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel Alocha, ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Nigrar. Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda when it's laying on the ground. I'm a Rava, the Hushi Kashur Bedelet. That's only true if it's tied to the door. So yes, Rabbi Yehuda is right that when it's laying on the ground, that we allow you to use it even in the Medina, but not Munach. Dishari Le Rabbi Yehuda ben Migdash, let Hilchotu Kabatei. The one there, it's completely detached, and Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use it in the Migdash, that halacha is not like him. Because since it's not kashur, we consider it to be binyan gamur, and we do not hold like him. So it's halachic Rabbi Yehuda, kind of. Which is, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as it's attached to the door, that's fine. We don't require that it be hanging. We allow it to be laying on the ground, as long as it has a string that attaches it to the door. That is mutar, afilu b'medina. And that, we agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on the other hand, the one where it's completely detached, Rabbi Yehuda said it's fine, there we do not agree with it. Both Rashi says this and Tosafot mention this, that Noalim Bo Medina, which is with the Nigrar and tied, But Munach, that is Mutar B'Mikdash, we do not hold like him. Mar says, Zini, is that really true? V'haber Rabbi Tavla iklo l'mechuza. He went, Rabbi Tavla went to visit Mechuza. V'chaz l'ahav d'havatoli b'ivra d'dasho. He saw this peg that was tied or hanging on the, whether it's the doorpost, the bolt, or the crossbar. He had one hanging. V'lo amar l'hu v'lo midei. And he didn't say anything to them. So the Gemara says, how nital bi igudo hava? That one was able to be taken with its string, meaning that this ring was so tight or tight enough that it was locked in place. The difference being that Rava says, v'husha kashur bedelet, that it's attached to the door itself. By being attached to the door itself, it's an indication that this is a locking mechanism for the door and not binyan. In the case that he goes to Mechuza, he sees it wasn't attached to the door itself. It was either attached to the doorposts, to the crossbar, to the bolt. It's attached to something besides the door. And nevertheless, he doesn't say anything to them, despite the fact that it's attached to the door. The answer being that it's nital bi'igudo. The string is so tight, or it's thick enough, that if you picked it up, the string would come with it, and it would not just tear or rip away. So since it was attached in such a way that it's obvious that it's a part of the locking mechanism because you're not going to just pull it away. You're not just going to take it. Therefore, it's okay. We saw that in yesterday's Mishnah, that distinction between igudo, if it's tied very strongly to the door, everybody agrees there that it's mutar. It's not considered problematic. The question was, when the igudo, when the string rips away, do we need the top, the rounded top on it, in order to be considered a kli? But igudo, when it's tied very tight, that makes it obvious that we're not dealing with building materials anymore, that we're dealing with something that is a locking mechanism. That's why he left it alone. Rav Avyo iklo l'Nardo. Rav Avyo went to visit Nardo. Chazila ugavro davakakotir begemi. He saw him tying it to the door with a reed. Amar dein lo nitrok. With this, you cannot utilize it. You cannot lock with this mechanism because it's not considered to be attached. It's a weak attachment. It's not strong enough attachment to the door. It's going to detach. And because of that, we do not consider it to be mutar to utilize because it's going to become detached. Then it'll look like mefsek binyan or really like binyan mamash if it's completely detached. By Rabbi Zera, nikmas mahu. What's the din with regards to nikmas? Nikmas is a case where the bolt or peg is inserted into the threshold. When it was originally made, the threshold had a hole in it that was within the stone of the threshold. Eventually, over time, because it's been worn down, it now goes beyond the stone and now actually enters into the dirt below, the bedrock below. So it's not just the threshold that it's going through, it's now going deeper into the ground. And obviously the question is that more like binyan now? Because it's not just going to the threshold, it's actually going and being embedded into the ground. So this nikmas, what is the story with it? Amar Rav Yosef, Maiti Baile. Why does he even have a question? L'shmele ha'datanya, he didn't hear this braita. Nishmat asur, nikmas mutar. So nishmat is that it separated completely. It's no longer attached with the rope. Then it's problematic. And that's what we said before, that even though we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't paskin like him when it's detached. When it's detached, it's binyan mamash. We don't allow you to utilize it. So everybody agrees, nishmat, problematic. Nikmas mutar. Nikmas is fine. If it gets drilled or driven down into the ground deeper than the threshold itself, that is fine. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nikmaz. Avo Pishenu Nishmat Asur. And Rabbi Yehuda's Machmir over here that Nikmaz, even if it's still attached, is problematic because you're driving it too deep into the ground. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel Locha Ki Rabbi Yehuda Bin Nikmaz. The Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda Bin Nikmaz that it is problematic. But time am I? What's the problem here? I'm Abai Mishum Demechse Ki Boneh. It looks like you're Boneh. Doesn't look like a locking mechanism anymore because it's driving too deep into the ground. If it was simply a locking mechanism, you would have it on the surface. You wouldn't need it to go in so deep. The fact that it's driving so deep into the ground is an indication of the fact, or makes it look like, that you are boneh or building over here. Baimine Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia Me'abaye. Asalu Beit Yad Mahu. If he makes it with a handle of some sort on it, so he has the peg, it's not attached to the door, which otherwise would be problematic, but he puts a handle on it. Now, putting a handle on it changes it from what we'd say construction material to something that has utility where people don't understand that you're going to take it in, take it out, because it had a handle on it. Right, exactly, very good. It becomes a kli, and that's the answer of the Gemara. Amalei, buchna kamart? You're talking about a pestle? That we know already. I mean, you made it into something now that has a shame kli on it. It looks like a pestle now, it's something that's a kli. That we don't worry about. That's not bonet, because you've already brought it to the world of kelim, and then it leaves the world of building materials. If he makes a handle for it, it's mutar. Ho sharita dava be rabbi pedat. So they was this log, heavy piece of wood. Dava be rabbi pedat that they kept at rabbi pedat's house. Dava madula be asara that took 10 people to carry. It was so heavy. Ashadula adasha. And they used to press it up against the door. And he didn't say anything about it. So this was their locking mechanism. Locking mechanism is basically, you know, when you jam the door, you put in, you know, a chair, you put in furniture behind the door so nobody can open it. So over here they had this huge log of wood that took 10 people to lift. They used to lift it up and place it up against the door at night so nobody could get in through the door. It weighed too much for people to get through the door. He said, Amar, Torah's kli ala, that it has a din of a kli here because it's used in such a manner to be the door block. And since it's used to be the door block, it's no longer considered to be building material. It's considered to be a kli, and therefore it's mutar to move it on Shabbat and to utilize it on Shabbat. How asita? So this is a mortar. Before we talked about a pestle, this is a mortar. You can see that in Rashi. Dava be mar Shmuel, that was in the Beit Midrash, the house of mar Shmuel. Dava mechazeket adriva. That it was so big that it held within it an adriva. Machloket Rashi and the Oruch to what an adriva is. Rashi says that an adriva is a letech, which is a chatzi kur, is a half a kur. A kur is 30 sa'ah. So half a kur is 15 sa'ah. So that's what he says. It holds 15 sa'ah. That's what Rashi says. The Oruch says that it's a chatzi letech. It's a half a letech, which means that it would hold 7.5 sa'ah. So it's half the size of what Rashi thinks. It was big. It's very big. It's probably made out of stone. It's very heavy. Sharo marshmul the mishdeya adasha amar toret kli alea. He allowed them to jam the door with it because, again, it's a kli. If it's a kli, it doesn't look like your building. It doesn't look like bonet. It's not a problem of mukse, and therefore you can carry it, jam the door with it to hold the door in place. So here we have the basic halachot of working with the door and putting in locking mechanisms or jams into the door. Number one, if Torah's kli aleh, if it has a din like a kli, it looks like a kli, or works like a kli, then we don't have any problem, because since it has a Torah kli, it doesn't look like boneh, it's not a problem of carrying it, not a problem of mukse, and you can utilize it on Shabbat. Number two is, if it doesn't have a shame kli aleh, if it's tied to the door with a strong enough string, even if it's laying on the ground, we are fine with that. It's tied to the door and completely lying on the ground. In addition to that, if it's tied to the door post or some other mechanism around the door, as long as the rope is so strong that it won't tear away, then that's also good enough in order to utilize this item on Shabbat. The Chachamim or the others require that it be talui, that it be hanging, not just nigrar, but it's attached and off the ground a little bit. But again, we saw that Yehuda Mashmol, so the lochas like Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't require that. It can be laying flat on the ground as long as it's attached strongly. So what we're trying to get around is that it's not mechzei kibonet, and it's not mukse. And so you have to have solved both of those problems. It has to be something that doesn't look like your building. You can either have that because it's a kli, or you can have that because you've done something that makes it look like it's a part of the door. And that's by attaching it to the door, or doing something that indicates that it is part of the locking mechanism. All right, Shalach Lei Rami Bar Yecheskel to Rav Amram. Name Alan Mar, Mahalan Mile Mal Yoto, the Amart Lan Mishmei de Ravasi, Bikipe de Arbo. Rami Bar Yecheskel says over to Rav Amram, tell us over some of those great words, those great memrot that you heard in the name of Rav Asi, Bekipe d'arba, with the arch of the boat. Shalach Lei. This is what he said, Achamar Rav Asi, Ani Kipe d'arba, these arches of the boat, Bizman Shish ben Tefach, if they are themselves wide a Tefach, Inami, Ein ben Tefach, they're not wide a Tefach, Vein ben Zelezesh Shlosha, but there's no more than 3 tzvachim between each of the arches across the boat. L'machar, on Shabbat itself, mevi mechatzelet, you can bring a reed mat, uporei salam, and you can stretch that across it. My time, why can you do that? You're not allowed to be poreis in ohel on Shabbat. You're not allowed to spread out a canopy on Shabbat. The answer is, Mosif al ol arayu. He's simply adding to a temporary ohel, Bishapir Dami, and that is allowed on Shabbat. So you have a boat, from the end to end of the boat, you have these arches that run across the whole boat. Arches that run across the whole boat. Now, they can be either one of two ways. Either if they themselves are an tefach thick. If they're a tefach thick, they themselves are an ohel. Because the minimum size for an ohel is to be a tefach. So if they're a tefach wide, then they themselves are an ohel. And then when you go to add on to it, you're simply adding on to the existing ohel that's there. If they are less than a tefach, then they themselves do not create an ohel. But if they are less than three tefachim away from each other, then it's lavud. If it's lavud, then you have a start of an ohel. Because if you're less than three tefachim, you already have three tefachim worth of an ohel. You continue to be pores. You can cover over the boat at that point, or continue to cover the boat, because it's just mosif al ohel arai. Hanu dichre, dahavale the Rav Huna. They were these elim, these rams that Rav Huna had. During the day, they required the shade. And at night, they required the air, fresh air. Ata de kamei de Rav. He went before Rav Amalei, zil koruch budya, b'shayir ba tefach. So he went to Rav to find out what they should do on Shabbat. During the week, all they did was add a canopy or cover over their pen. He would open it up during the night and close it during the day. But on Shabbat, he wanted to know what to do, because he now had to put an ohel up on Shabbat. So Amalei, zil koruch budya, go and roll up a mat or a canopy, b'shayir ba tefach, and leave a tefach of it unrolled. L'machar pashta. In the next day, on Shabbat itself, during the day when you need the shade, unroll it. Umosif al arayhu. And then you're simply adding on to an orai, v'shapir dami, and it's okay. So it's true of any canopy that you have. As long as the canopy has a tefach worth that has been unrolled already, then you can continue to unroll the canopy because there's already an existing ohel. If there's an existing ohel, you can extend the existing ohel that's there, or you could roll it back. Correct. If you have a cover over a sukkah, as long as, for rain or for whatever reason it is, as long as it's unrolled, at least the tefach, beforehand, then you can continue to unroll it on Shabbat, because all you are doing is being mosif al ohel arai. Very good. So the children's strollers, where you have canopies, or you want to put on a rain canopy, you want to put on a mosquito net that you want to put on top of it. So in those, you need to have at least a tefach of the canopy that is open prior to Shabbat. It's more problematic with the ones that fold up towards like an umbrella, like strollers, which fold up very tight. Those generally don't have a tefach, like when they're folded up. If you open them up before Shabbat, and then you have the canopy at least extended, or you put the rain shield on, so that it's open a little bit, then it's fine. With some of the larger ones, then even when the canopies are open, they still have a tefach of canopy that's still there, then you can extend it on Shabbat. The key element is having a tefach, at least, of the canopy that's open prior to Shabbat, and then you can do whatever you need to do on Shabbat. You can extend it, or you can retract it, as long as it doesn't go below the tefach, because that's just mosif alol arai. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia. Rav said in the name of Rabbi Chia, vilon, mutar lin toto, mutar lin forko b'Shabbat. A shade, you can place it, stretch it out on Shabbat, and then take it down on Shabbat. The vilon here is being used to cover a doorway. It's been used as the equivalent of a door, and you can pull it down or put it there on Shabbat, and then remove it on Shabbat. It's not a problem of ohel because it's hanging. It's not a roof. It's not a canopy of sort. And it's normal to use it in this way. It's normal to have a vilon that is used in such a manner for tzniut. Right. To open and close the parochet. Yeah, it's the same thing. Kilat chatanim, the canopy of the grooms, mutar leforka lulon tota b'Shabbat. You can take it apart and put it up on Shabbat. So this, kilat chatanim, this is a special type of canopy. It's not like the normal canopy that is up on four stilts. If you have four poles that hold up a canopy, that's a normal canopy that you have over a bed. Kilat chatanim, on the other hand, only had two poles. One pole at the head, one pole at the foot, and then it draped down like a tent. As opposed to being on the four poles where it stretched across, right, it drapes down in a triangle manner, so that it looks like a tent. And why is that? Why is different about the kilat chatanim? So Amar Rav Sheshet Breid Ravidi Lo Amran El She'im B'Gaga Tefach. That only works when the point of the roof, the point of the kilat chatanim, is less than a tefach. If it's a tefach wide, then you have an ohel. If you have an ohel, you can't take it apart and you can't put it together, because then you're either making an ohel or taking down an ohel on Shabbat. If it has that tefach, then it's asur. Even if the roof doesn't have a tefach at the peak, if within the top three tefachim of it, it has a tefach wide, then that's the same thing as having an oel, because three tefachim is a lavud. So if it's within three tefachim of the peak of the canopy, then it's as if it's at the peak of the canopy. And if you get to a tefach wide at that point in time, then that's already considered to be an ohel. So you have a tefach within three tefachim of the top, that's also a sur, because that becomes an ohel, and you can't put it out, you can't take it apart. And even if it doesn't have a tefach within the last three tefachim towards the peak of the canopy, nevertheless, in that case, nami lo amran elo shebein b'shipua, if it doesn't have on its angle, on its incline, tefach, it doesn't have a tefach there. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach, if it has a tefach in its incline, then shipuya olayim kualim damu. If you have a tent, the walls of the tent function both as walls and as the roof of the tent. So if the walls of the tent, or here the walls of the canopy, are in a low enough angle, then not only are they the walls, they're also the roof. So it has to be at such a steep angle that they are really just walls and not a roof to the canopy. Okay, so what's going on here? What is defining the angle over here? The simplest reading of the Gemara, which is very difficult, is that the base has only a tefach between it, or maybe at most two tefachim between it, which is extremely difficult. No bed is just a tefach wide or two tefachim wide that you would have a kilat chatanim on top of it, and what person could fit into this? It doesn't make so much sense. Rashi asked the question here. Tosafot in the Gemara in Shabbat, the Kufla Mitchet, when we saw that back then, asked the same question. He says, I don't understand the description of the Gemara. I mean, first of all, it has to do with how high it is. How high the canopy will also influence the angle. So depending on how tall or how short the middle point of the canopy is will influence how wide it needs to be in order to have a shallow angle or a sharp angle. So how can you just define it by simply a tefach? Number two is, even if you come up with some sort of standard height, having it a tefach apart or two tefachim apart is very difficult to assume that that is a normal bed or a normal type of canopy. And that's what Rashi says. Vikashali, ezu mita she'en brach ba shnei tefachim or gimel chaser mashu. Which bed doesn't have two tefachim in it, or gimel chaser mashu, she'e begaga pachot mitefach, so that its roof or the top has less than a tefach. And it's two angles coming down, the two sides are less than a tefach from the peak, width-wise, out. It says nobody's going to be sleeping under that. So then, Rashi's answer here, Tosfot gives something similar in Gemara and Shabbat, he has it slightly different there. Rashi says, Vishlamar shemita rechava ke mishpata. It's a normal bed. Let's start with that. I'm talking about a normal bed. Ve'naklitin harbe yotzim heimenu l'shnei roshah. As opposed to what we think normally of kilat chatanim, which is you have a post at the head, a post at the foot of the bed. This has multiple posts at the foot of the bed and multiple posts at the head of the bed. But unlike a normal canopy where you would stretch it flat across the top, this one has, at each one of those posts, it has the angled down. It comes down. At each of the posts, it slides down. Rashi has a picture of it. You can see it in Rashi himself. Volin lamala, sturim echad namuch vechad gavoah. One of them is high, one of them is low. One of them is high, one of them low. So if you have it up and down, basically the canopy is moving up and down. And that is what's being described here. So the canopy is moving like this, like a wave over the top. And that's what the Gemara is describing over here. It's giving you definition for the tops of these pieces of the canopy. What is the size of them? So those could be small. Those could be less than a tefach because they're not the entirety of the bed. They are small peaks along the way that are along the bed. You have multiple peaks along the bed. Each one of those peaks could be less than a tefach and don't stretch out. The angle is narrower. So therefore, you don't get a roof effect. You get a wall effect. And so that's what Rashi describes over here. Tosafot in the Gemara and Shabbat describes it instead of like Rashi where it's built by having these poles. He just simply says that it's the canopy itself is hanging down. It comes up and then it hangs down and then goes back up again. And not that it's necessarily structured that way, but a similar type of idea that we're not talking about a single peak over the bed, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense what we're speaking about here. All right, now the next Gemara is very important, especially for those that wear hats. Amar Rav Shisha, Braid Rav Idi, Saino Shari. To wear a hat, this is a Kovash Leved, a felt hat, is Mutar, V'atanya Asur. Then we have a braita that says it's asur. Lokasha adit beitefach, hadalit beitefach. Depends about the brim of the hat. How big is the brim of the hat? If the brim of the hat is more than a tefach, problematic. If the brim of the hat is less than a tefach, then you're okay. That would present a problem for some of these borsalinos that are much more than a tefach. How can you wear it on Shabbat? It's a problem of oil. Right? The women's hats also. Today, if these wide brim hats also for the women, so can they wear them on Shabbat? The Gemara says, El mi'ato, if that's the case, sharvi biglimei. When it comes to his cloak, then if he puts his cloak over his head, and it extends out, the beak at the top of the cloak goes out, it's a tefach, hachanami da asur, you can say it's a asur. If he's wearing his cloak, he has his head covered, he's wearing the talit, and extends the tefach all over his head, that's going to be a problem. Elo kasha. That's not a problem. Now, when we say here, elo kasha, now the Gemara is going back and rejecting the previous solution of tefach and no tefach, but rather coming up with a new solution, which is hadim hadik. Hadalom hadik. That's one is when it is tied on and one is not tied on. This is Rashi. Rashi's explanation is taima la mishum oel hu. The problem here is not oel. Ela dilma nafil mi reshe. We're afraid that the wind's gonna come, blow it off his head, and then he's gonna have to pick it up. So hilkach. Therefore, ki mahadik, because shur b'tzua, if it's like a ranger hat and he has a string that comes down and ties it to his head, then it's mutar to wear it on Shabbat. Vilo, if not, it's asur. So how do people wear all these hats that are large brimmed hats without any string that's attached to it? So number one, David says over here, oh, maybe somebody explains the opposite. Right, so the Rabbeinu Chananel over here, and the Gemara in Shabbat also, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that's not what it means, the mahadik. He says that the difference here is, the Rabbeinu Chananel refers to mahadik asur k'shatevach hayotzei min hakovach hazak, shenu nichfaf. Has to do with the hardness of the brim. If you have a solid brim, then it's a problem of oel. If you have a soft brim, then it's not a problem of oel. But that means that Rabbeinu Chananel maintains in the end that a tefach is problematic. It's a question of what type of tefach you have. If you have a hard tefach, then you have a problem. If you have a soft tefach, then you're not a problem. So let's say, maybe with the borsalino, you could argue that it's a soft brim, and therefore, it might be okay even if it's more than a tefach, which most of them are. But, for instance, the straw hats that they wear in the summer that have the solid brim coming out of them, if they're a tefach wide, right, in Washington Heights and Breuers, that they wear those hats in the summertime, that maybe that could be problematic because it could be more than a tefach. So that, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, could be problematic. But today we still see that. People wear those solid hats, even with the tefach in them, and they don't put on strings to hold the hats on their head, not like Rashi. Part of the answer to that is that we don't have a Reshut Rabim anymore. We don't have an area that's considered to be a Reshut Rabim, so even if the hat blew off, then you would only be involved with the Carmelite. And in most locations, we even have an Eruv. So there's no, even if the hat got blown off and you carried the hat, there wouldn't be an issue. There might be an issue in places where there is really a Reshut Rabim. The issue might be much more serious here in terms of the hat of it blowing off, according to Rashi or according to Rabbeinu Chananel. It'd be a problem even without an Eruv, even without Reshut Rabim, because he talks about it being solid. So if you have a solid brim that is more than a tefach out, that's like an ohel, that would be problematic for, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel.
I
mean, if you push it down hard onto your head, maybe that could solve your problem, yeah. I mean, if you wear like a winter hat, you pull it down over your head because you're cold, then it's mehadik by itself, then you don't have a problem, right?
No, on the contrary. Then you would have a problem because it's mamash, like you're building a well mamash.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's the opposite of the Rabbeinu Chananel. The exact opposite. What you're saying over here, the Rabbeinu Chananel over here says what you're saying, and everybody says that the girsa is wrong, and the Rabbeinu Chananel here, because Gemara and Shabbat is the exact opposite girsa. So what you're saying, the Rabbeinu Chananel does say here, but if you look in the, there's a note on the bottom of the Rabbeinu Chananel, which says, look in Tosfot, in Daf Kuf Lamed Ched and Shabbat, where it's clear that the Rabbeinu Chananel says the opposite, as well as in our Tosafot over here. Okay, next Mishnah. Machzirin sira tachton b'migdash avalo b'medina. You're allowed to return the bottom hinge in the Migdash, but not in the Medina. The upper hinge is problematic in both places. We're talking about over here is a delet of a chalon, shida, teva, migdal. These are chests, bureaus, kelim in the house that you have a door that's affixed to it, or a window where you have a little door affixed to it. In the door is held on by hinges. The hinges, again, in their day were not like the bracketed or the hinges in the middle of the door like we have. Rather, it was a pin at the bottom, a pin at the top that inserted into a hole. At the top, a hole in the bottom. So now, if the bottom hinge comes out, then you're allowed to return it in the Mikdash, but not in the Medina. That's because it's Mechzei Kibboneh. It looks like you're building, because you're reaffixing, you're re-jamming in the hinge, the bottom hinge. Now, Rashi says this is because the Tana of this Mishnah believes that there is binyan b'kelim. That when you build in kelim, that's considered to be bonet, and it's a problem over here. So that bottom hinge, if you were to jam it in, that would be a problem of bonet. So the Chazal didn't allow you to push it in or just to return it to its place because we're afraid then you would come and jam it in. You would take a makevet, you would take like a small mallet or hammer and bang it back in, and that would really be a problem of bonet on the Shabbat. So therefore, in the Mikdash where there's no shvut, we say, go ahead and put it back in. In the Medina, where we have a problem with shvut, there's an issur derabanan, you're not allowed to do it. Now, even in the Mikdash, it has to be betzor ha-korban. It has to be something that has necessity on Shabbat to be violated. So it has to be that they kept the salt in there. It was the salt cupboard or something that they needed for the karban, that they have to fix it. If it's just stam for the Mikdash, we don't violate a shvut. It has to have some reason to violate it. But that's with regards to the bottom hinge. The upper hinge, Rashi claims that the upper hinge is bone mamash. It's really building. And so because of that, it's a sur both the Medina and the Mikdash, because it's an Isur Doraita binyan. It's an Isur Doraita binyan, because there is binyan bekelim, and the upper hinge is what keeps the door in place. It's still true today. If you have a door that has hinges on it, if the upper hinge remains in place, you can still move the door, and you can then reaffix the lower hinge. If it's only the lower hinge that's attached, and the upper hinge is, there's too much torque on the lower hinge because the weight of the door, and then it'll pull it down or it'll crack. So because of that, the upper hinge is much more important, and that's what they're saying here as well. The upper hinge is what really holds the door in place. The lower hinge is what keeps it on track, basically, but the upper hinge is what really holds the weight of the door. So if the upper hinge is in place, then putting the lower hinge back in is only Nisur Dirabanan. And that's why there's a difference between Mikdash and Medina. Alright, so that's Rashi's explanation. Since the top is Deoraita, therefore it's problematic in Medina and the Mikdash. The bottom, which is only Nisur Dirabanan, therefore it's Mutar B'Mikdash, Asur B'Medina. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi because he says, why do we have a Mishnah that paskins like Beit Shammai? Beit Hillel believes in binyan bekelim. Beit Shammai believes binyan bekelim. Even Tosafot, who disagrees with Rashi in the Gemara and Shabbat. Rashi in the Gemara and Shabbat says in binyan bekelim across the board. Period. In binyan bekelim. Tosafot, who disagrees with him, says there's in binyan bekelim, but there is times when there is binyan bekelim, and that's when you start a kli from scratch. You build something from scratch. You do something significant with a kli, there is binyan bekelim. But even Tosafot agrees over here that this is not considered to be binyan bekelim. And therefore, it only could be according to Beit Shammai, who says there is binyan bekelim. And so if that's the case, why would you have a Mishnah like Beit Shammai and not like Beit Hillel? So for that reason, Tosafot says he thinks Rashi is wrong, and there's never an Isur Doraita here. Both the upper hinge and the lower hinge are only Isurei Derabanan. Well then, why is the din different? Why is the din in the lower hinge that Medina Asur, B'Mikdash, it's Mutar? And in the upper hinge, it's Asur Legamrei, both places. So this is something that Tosfot says, right here, he says Rashi's explanation is a docha gadol. This is something that Tosfot says here, he says it in multiple places in Erevin and in Shabbat itself. He mentions it over and over again. V'nir l'ri, dafilu tzira elyonu derabanan. D'shvut gadola kazeh lo itiru b'mikdash. When something is a big derabanan, when it's a solid Isur derabanan, even in the Mikdash, it's problematic. And he says here, and I just mentioned that, tuvo ashkechan lo itiru b'mikdash. There are many Isurei Derabanan that apply even in the Mikdash. It's not a blanket heter to say Ein Shvut B'Mikdash. They don't just say, oh, it's an Isur Derabanan, it doesn't apply in the Mikdash. That's not the case. There are many times that a Isur Derabanan applies in the Mikdash. What the qualification is exactly is not clear. The Tosafot says in many places either Shvut Gedola, which means that it's a big Derabanan, it's something that's really problematic or close to being very problematic, or something where it's not necessarily involved with directly with the Korban, or something that's necessary for a Chilul Shabbat. So those cases, the Shvut applies even in the Mikdash. So you can't take this generic position that ain't Shvut with Mikdash, because that's just not true. Ain't Shvut Mikdash, where it's indicated that way. But there are times where it is Shvut with Mikdash, and therefore he holds that both the upper and lower hinge here are Yisurei Derabanan. Etana Banan. Tzir Delet Shida Tevau Migdal B'Mikdash Magzirin B'Midina Dochakim. Then when it comes to the Mikdash, you can return it to its place. I mean, you can put the hinge back in, you can insert it back into the hole. If it's slipped out a little bit, you can push it back in. Ve'alyon kan v'kan lo yachzir. And the upper one, in neither place can you return it. Gzeira, shemi yitka. It's a gzeira, maybe you will push it or bang it back into place. Ve'im taka, chayav chatat. And if you bang it into place, then you are chayav chatat. Now, Rashi interprets over here, shemi yitka, is referencing back to the lower one. It's not about the upper one. Because according to Rashi, you don't have to be tokeya for the upper one to be problematic. It's the lower one that is problematic. The upper one is asur, period. You can't even push it back in. So for Rashi, he's going to have to say the Shem Yitzka goes back on the earlier statement in the Braita, which is about the problem with the lower hinge, which is part of why Tosafot doesn't like Rashi's explanation. He says that's a very difficult way to read the Braita. And Tosafot, on the other hand, says it's referring to the upper one. The upper hinge, you cannot put back Gezeira Shem Yitzka. But if you're tokeya, the upper one, then you're chayav chadat. Shabor, shaldot, v'shal yitziah. You're talking about a cistern or a ditch that is built out, that has a structure inside of it, or a yitziah, or some sort of wall, or an annex. No yachzir, then you can't put it in. V'yachzir chayav chatat. If he puts it back, then you're chayav chatat, because then you're building into the ground. There, even on the lower hinge, it's problematic, because you're dealing with not a keli anymore. There you're dealing with the actual ground. And then if you put it back in, you're fixing it into the ground. That's really binyan. That's problematic, even with the lower hinge. For Rashi, it's the lower hinge and the keli would be a problem to bang it in. That's what the gzeira is about. The upper hinge is always problematic. And here, also the lower hinge is problematic for Rashi. According to the Ri, again, both the upper hinge and the lower hinge are only derabbanan. And then over here, the upper and lower hinge would be problematic because it's binyan mamash. Next Mishnah, machzirin ritiya b'migdash olov b'mdina. You can put a bandage back on in the Migdash, but not in the Midina. If you want to put it on for the first time, kan b'kan asur. In both places, it's problematic. Now, Ritiyah is a bandage, and we're assuming that the bandage probably has some sort of cream inside of it. Because, as Rashi notes, the problem here is a problem of mimareach. It's a problem of smoothing out or spreading on Shabbat. You put on the bandage with the cream inside of it, with the ointment inside of it, then when you place it down, you're going to move it around and you're going to spread it out. And that's a problem with mimareach on Shabbat, and that's why it's an issue. So in the case where you're putting it on from the first place, kan v'kan asur. There's no question, it's problematic. The problem is where you already had it on, and then you want to take it off and put it back on. In that instance, can you do it? That's only an issur d'rabbanan. Because we're afraid of mimareach. But technically, you already did it. It was already on already. The mimareach was done. So the only problem is to return it. We don't like that because then people might put it on in the first place. So in the Medina, we have a shvut, we have a rabbanan, and we say you can't put it back on. In the Migdash, we allow them to put it back on. But that's only in a certain circumstance. Circumstance here is where a kohen injured himself, put on his bandage on his hand. He wants to do avodah in the Migdash. You can't do avodah if there's something on his hand because there's a chatzitza. The bandage acts as a chetzitza between his hand and the avoda. So he takes it off to do the avoda. If he takes it off to do the avoda, we allow him to return the bandage afterwards. The Gemara in Beitza says this is one of three items that he tiro sofam mishum tchilatan. They allowed you to put it back on because of the beginning. If we didn't allow him to put the bandage back on, he wouldn't take it off. So we allowed him to put it back on so that he would take it off. And because we allow him to return it to his hand, then he does take it off to do the avoda. Because if we didn't let him take it off, either he wouldn't do the avoda, or he would do the avoda with the bandage on, because he wants to have it on. So in order to prevent that problem, we allow him to return it on his hand, even after he has taken it off. Tarabanan, Ritiyah shepirsha mi'agabe makah. If you have a bandage that comes off one's hand, makzirin b'shabbat, you're allowed to return on Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chuk lo kalamato. If it slips down, docha kalamala, you can pull it back up. Lamala, if it slipped up, you can return it down below. So I mean, as long as it's still on, you can move it up or down, but what you can't do is put it back on. As opposed to the Tanakamo says you can completely put it back on. You can open up a part of the bandage, and then wipe up the wound. And then you can go to the other side of the bandage, open and pull it up a little bit, and wipe off the wound, or clean off the wound. The bandage itself you cannot clean off, because the bandage itself has the ointment or the cream on it, and if you're going to clean off or you're going to wipe the bandage, then you're going to be mireach, you're going to be smoothing it out. Uveim mireach, and if you do smooth it out, chayav chatat. Am Rabbi Yehuda, am Shmuel locha ke Rabbi Yehuda. The locha here is like Rabbi Yehuda, that one may not return a bandage onto their arm on Shabbat. They can only do what he said is slip it up or slip it down, and pick a piece of it up to clean out, then pick the other piece up if you can, but you can't remove it and return it on Shabbat. The locha is like Rabbi Yehuda.
By talking about something which is not going to cause effect, talking about
If there's sakana, then we're in a different world. As long as, assuming there's no sakana. If there's sakana, of course you can change the bandage. But here, Amar Rav Chisda, now there's a big machloket Rashi and Tosafot, I'll read this Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, Loshan el shepirsha agabe kli. That's only true if he takes it off and puts it onto a kli. Aval pirsha agabe karaka, he puts it on the ground, divrei akol asur. Everybody agrees that it's asur. So even the Rabbanon would say when you take off the bandage, you're allowed to return it. That's only when you take it off and you put it on a utensil. But if it's put on the ground, then it looks more like you're starting from scratch again. When you take it off and put it on the ground, it's like you picked up a new bandage and you're starting from scratch. You put on a kli, it's like, you know, you're undressing the wound and dressing it back. That's where the Rabbanon were matir. Amamar bar Ravashi. Ravashi's son says, Havakamina kameh da'abo. I was before my father, before Ravashi. Nafale abesadio. He had a bandage on his arm and it fell onto the couch. And he put it back on. You don't hold of what Rav Chisda says, that machloket she pirsha gabi kli, that the machloket is only about when it comes off on a kli, aval pirsha gabi karka asur, goes onto the ground and it's asur. So you don't hold of that differential that Rav Chisda makes. If you listen to Rav Chisda, then even Rav Chisda says that the Rabbanon only allow you to put on the bandage when it fell on a kli, not when it fell on the ground. Amar Shmuel alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel also said the alocha is k'Rabbi Yehuda. So then, even either way, you can't put it back on. Samalei lo Shmueli, he says, I didn't hear about it. Omar lo severely, I don't hold of it. Now, what doesn't he hold of? Rashi says when it says lo Shmueli or lo severely, he says that's referring to Rav Chisda's din. He says when Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Chachamim, the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is nofel al karka. But nofel al kli, everybody agrees is okay. So he says Rav Chisda, who says that the Chachamim say by al karka it's asur, al kli it's mutar, he says is wrong. That's not right. I don't agree with Rav Chisda. I think that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees if it falls on a kli that it's mutar. Their machlok it is in nofel al karka where the Chachamim say it's okay and Rabbi Yehuda says it's problematic. And I pass from like Shmuel who says it's like Rabbi Yehuda. But I don't hold the Rav Chisda. If that's the case, then if I pass him like Rabbi Yehuda without Rav Chisda, that means that I think that it's ala kli, it's fine. If it's ala karka, then it's problematic. So if that's the case, then I don't have a problem. So what would have been the problem, or at least would have been the issue, according to him, is if originally he had passed him like Rabbi Yehuda, alibi the Rav Chisda, which is the Shmuel's halacha, then Rabbi Yehuda would never be matir. That's the way you read it according to Rav Chisda. The Chamir Matir Bekli, not Bakarka. Rabbi Yehuda is Ousar, even Bekli. So then, that's what Rav Ashi's son is asking him. We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chisda says that means that he never allows it, and you just put the bandage back on. He answers him, I don't hold like Rav Chisda. I think that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but nevertheless, I think that Rav Chisda's differentiation is wrong, and that everybody agrees by Kli you can put it on. Their machloket is Bekarka. So I pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, says it's Asur Bekarka, Mutar Bekli, and therefore, a Beisadja, I was allowed to put it back on, because the Beisadja is considered to be like a Kli. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that Rashi's explanation is wrong. He says, Ravashi, the Kamar Vesuch Lo Shmiali, Lo Kaya Rav Chisda. He's not saying about Rav Chisda, Kepere Shekunish, Lo Kaya Locha Kerab Yehuda. He says, what I don't hold like is the Psak Alocha of Shmuel, that it's like Rav Yehuda, Avala Milta Rav Chisda Lo Polik. He doesn't argue on Rav Chisda, he just holds like the Chachamim. So the Chachamim, if you think Rav Chisda is right and Shmuel is wrong, so Loch is not like Rav Yehuda, Loch is like the Chachamim. Loch is like Chachamim with the qualification of Rav Chisda, which is, ala kli it's fine, ala karka it's not fine. So therefore, that's what Rav Ashi answered him. I think it's fine here because I don't paskin like Rav Yehuda, I paskin like the Chachamim. But I paskin the Chachamim according to Rav Chisda, which is, ala kli fine, ala karka is no good. But here was ala kli, and that's why I did it, and that's why it's okay. So Rashi thinks that he eliminated Rav Chisda and left Shmuel in place. Tosafot thinks he eliminated Shmuel and left Rav Chisda in place. Either way, you come to the same conclusion, which is the Psak Halacha then is ala kli it's mutar, ala karka it's asur. According to Rashi, it means ala kli is mutar, ala karka is asur, and that's alibi de Rabbi Yehuda. And Tosafot says that the same din, that ala kli it's mutar, ala karka is asur, but that's alibi de Rabbanan. And that's the machloka between Rashi and Tosafot. That would explain this Gemara. Then on top of that, Tosafot asks a very important question. He says here, I don't understand why the whole problem here is a problem of Yimareach, or Mimareach, it's a problem of smoothing out. What happens to the problem of Shkikat Simamanim? What happens to the problem of performing medicine on Shabbat? We know from the Gemara in Shabbat that when it comes to, for instance, a woman who goes out with a pipel, with a pepper in her mouth, or gargir melach, or a cube of salt in her mouth, if nafal lo tachzir, falls out of her mouth, she's not allowed to put it back in, because We're worried about shkikat simamanim. It looks like she's doing something medicinal on Shabbat. And that she had in her mouth before Shabbat came. Just like this bandage was on your arm before Shabbat came in. So why over there do we worry about shkikat simamanim? And over here we don't worry about it. Tosafot says over here, Yesh Lamar, the hotum time alafish near 8, kamoshim it gavin lotzi lachutz. There it looks like she's intending to carry it out. Va'ati the mishvei otzah. Looks like she's taking it off the ground and putting it in her mouth to carry it into the house. So there you have a problem of otzah. Over here you don't have that problem. You're not putting on the bandage to carry a bandage around. Nobody needs the bandage anyway. They use the bandage on the wound. So that's why there's a difference. But then, Rav Yosef perish, atam mishum shkikat zmananim, ken yesh lefarish vishmaitin. Rabbeinu Rav Yosef thinks that the problem over there is medicinal, and the problem over here is medicinal. The whole problem of Ritiyah over here is not a problem in Mareach, or the problem of performing medicine on Shabbat, and the Gemara should be read in that context. Not a problem of smoothing out, but a problem of using medicines on Shabbat, which is Asur Midirabanan. And therefore this whole Gemara then becomes incorporated in that problem of Isur of shkikat zmananim. Okay, next Mishnah. Koshim nima b'migdash, avalo b'medina. One can attach the string of the lyre in the Migdash, but not in the Medina. V'im b'tchila, if you're putting on a string, if you're stringing it for the first time, kan v'kan asur, it's problematic. So if you're stringing it in the first place, asur. If you're fixing a string that snapped on the instrument, then in the Migdash it's mutar, in the Medina it's asur, implying that there's only an Isar derabanan, which we're waving in the Migdash and not in the Medina. Reminu, nimat kinor, the string of a lyre, shenifsaka, that snapped, lo aya koshra elon va. Not allowed to tie it, but you can loop it. Lo kasho, ha rabbonon ha Rabbi Eliezer. That's a machlok between the rabbonon and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who we know from the Gemara in Shabbat, which is Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, is Rabbi Eliezer damar makshiri mitzvah dochin et Shabbat. Something that's a preparation for a mitzvah is doche Shabbat, therefore koshra. Over here, the music is the accompaniment to the korban. Music itself is a machshir mitzvah. And here, you can fix the string, you can tie it, retie it with a knot, because that's a machshir mitzvah. That's part of a mitzvah, but it's what makes the mitzvah possible on Shabbat. Since korbanot doche Shabbat, so are the machshirim. And that means that the fixing the kelim and having the musical accompaniment is all doche Shabbat, according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's why you can tie a knot. The Rabbanon damrei in dochin, Rabbanon believe that a mitzvah itself is doche Shabbat, like a korban, but the machshire mitzvah are not doche Shabbat. Over here, then onva, you can only do a loop. You can only tie a bow on it, you cannot tie a knot on it. It says, "E Rabbi Eliezer, afilu chatkele nami." If Rabbi Eliezer is really author of our Mishnah, then why does it say that you can only fix the string? It should be that you can start the string. For him, you can start from scratch. Eliezer de Mila says you can start making coals on Shabbat, so that you can make a Ismail, so that you can make the knife to do the Mila. I mean, that you can do everything you need to do it. So if that's the case, so too over here. You could tie the string from the start, even on Shabbat, to make the musical instrument usable. Hello, Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanon. So now, the difference here is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks that making an aniva is an avmalacha. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, alibad the man. Rabbi Yehuda is holding like whom? He alibad the Rabbi Lezer, kamar. If he's holding like Rabbi Lezer, that makshire mitzvah are allowed, then afilu chatkila nami. And not only should be able to tie it on Shabbat, he should be able also start the string from the first place in Shabbat, because that's what Rabbi Lezer's opinion is. If you say you're holding like Rabbi Lezer, you're back to square one. You're back to the problem we had with Rabbi Lezer's opinion, because you're holding in Rabbi Lezer. Ella, what is it? So Rabbi Huda thinks that, we saw this before, a bow and a knot are the same. They're both an av malacha on Shabbat. So doing a bow versus tying a knot is no better. They're both av malacha. So he has to be matir machshire mitzvah here in order to allow it. The Rabbanon who think that there's a difference between a bow and a knot aren't differentiating. They're saying make a bow, don't make a knot. So Rabbi Yehuda says don't differentiate because you have no benefit. A bow and a knot are the same thing. But why is he matir it? So if he think he holds like Rabbi Lezer because he allows makshirei mitzvah, then you're back to square one because we've had a problem. If you're matir makshirei mitzvah, you should not only be matir to fix it, you should be matir to make it in the first place. So Ela lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbanon. The difference in opinion here is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon. D'tanya. Ben Levi shenifsako lo nima b'kinor. If a Levi has one of the strings of his lyre snap on Shabbat, koshra, you're allowed to tie a knot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ondva, you can loop it, you can make it into a bow. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, afi eina mashmata tekol. If you do that, it's not going to make the proper sound. Ela mishalshel milamata, korech milamala. You restring it. Either wrap it around down below and then pull it up top, o mishalshel milamala, korech milamata. You draw it down from the top and then twist it around the malata, the way that we have musical instruments today with key. Wrap it around the locking mechanism at the bottom, then you put on the key at the top and you tighten the key. So that's what he's describing over here. You tighten the key, you start, you do the full process. Because otherwise it won't make the sound. If you knock the string, or if you loop the string and make it into a bow, you're not going to get the proper sound out of it. You want to get the proper sound, you got to tie it. So now it's a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Because they differentiate between makshirei mitzvah that can be done before Shabbat and makshirei mitzvah that can only be done on Shabbat. They hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that makshirei mitzvah are doche to Shabbat. But he says makshirei mitzvah are doche to Shabbat only when they couldn't have been done Erev Shabbat. If you could have done it on Erev Shabbat, then we insist that you do it on Erev Shabbat. If they can't be done on Erev Shabbat, then we allow you to do it on Shabbat, and that'll be the difference here. When the string snaps, we allow you to tie the knot because that's makshirei mitzvah that you couldn't have done before Shabbat. The string was in place before Shabbat. To start a new string, that's something you could have strung. You could have strung the instrument before Shabbat. The fact that you didn't do it, that's your problem, and that's a makshirei mitzvah that was extra lasot mi erev Shabbat. Now, even though we could have made that differentiation within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that's what Rashi says, we don't find anywhere in Shas that Rabbi Yehuda makes such a distinction. So that's why over here we place that into the position of the Rabbanon that argue on Rabbi Shimon. Because we see that they differentiate. The Rabbanon here that argue on Rabbi Shimon say that the Nifsaka lo neima b'kinor koshra, Rabbi Shimon omer on va. He says to loop it, the Rabbanon over here say tie a knot. So here they say tie a knot only if it's on Shabbat, but they don't allow you to tie the knot if it came before Shabbat. Now that both the Braita and our Mishnah are the Rabbanon, lokasha, kan be'emtza, kan min atzad. Depends where you're tying the knot. Are you tying the knot in the middle of the string? Or are you tying the knot at the end of the string? So in that case, these are makshirin shi'ev shar mevod yom. This is something that snapped on Shabbat itself. Now, the way you can tie it as a knot is when it breaks in the middle. Because so if you don't tie it in the middle, it won't make the proper sound. To simply loop it or make a bow in the middle, that's not going to make the proper sound and we don't allow it. Whereas, if you make the loop on the side or at the edge, towards the top or the bottom, it will make the proper sound. So we'll allow you to knot it when it's in the middle. We won't allow you to knot it when it's on the side. Makshirei mitzvah that you couldn't do before Yom Tov, but what is the solution? The solution to loop it works at the top and the bottom. It doesn't work in the middle, so we'll allow you to knot it in the middle. That's another possibility. Or, ibay teima habab emtsa. They're both in the middle. Mar savar gazrinan, mar savar lo gazrinan. One of them holds that you are gozer, and one of them holds you're not gozer. So that's what Rashi says. Ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbanon. It's a difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon, but why? They both allow you to knot it. But a bright, the Tanilaya Koshra, midorait to shori. Mina Torah is mutar. Just feel Rabbi Shimon, makshirin de mitzvah doch, in echad lo efshal lo amet mo. Shug zeirahu de gazar be emtsa to minat sad. The reason he doesn't allow you to tie the knot in the middle is because he's afraid if you tie in the middle, you also tie it when it snaps at the top. And when it snaps at the top, everybody agrees that you can't do that, because the loop would have been insufficient. The bow would have been sufficient at the top or the bottom. So the question is, when it snaps in the middle, do we let you tie the knot? Rabbi Shimon says no, because we're afraid that if you let you tie the knot in the middle, you also tie it at the ends, which is problematic. Whereas the Rabbanon say, tie it in the middle, because that's the only solution, and we don't worry about the fact. If it snaps at the top, you'll make a bow at the top, make a loop at the top. We don't worry about you extrapolating tying the knot in the middle to tying it at the top. So these are three different ways to explain the difference between the Braita and the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah saying that you could tie a knot, and the Braita saying that you cannot tie a knot. So how do we reconcile between those? The difference is, either it's a difference in opinion, that's what we established at first. So according to Rabbi Shimon, who says you can only loop it, according to Chachamim, we say you can knot it. Or, then we said, no, maybe it's even according to the Chachamim, and the difference here is whether it's in the middle or on the edge. And then we said, no, maybe it's even in the middle, and there's a machloket about whether it goes there in the middle, up to the tzadim. Those are the three different ways to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braita. Okay, we'll stop here.